Thanks for listening. The following is an audio presentation from High Country Christian Church. For more information, please visit www.highcountrychristian.com.
Find its way back to you years later. And there's a scripture in the Bible that says that we're accountable for every idle word that we speak. And that's not a negative thing. You know, you're not going to be judged based on any fault that you've made in your life. That's good news. Amen. You say, well, I've never heard that before. Well, you just heard it now. So you're not going to be judged. When you stand before the Lord, His judgment upon you has already been laid upon His Son, Jesus.
Yes, sir. Come on.
And so when God looks at you on that final day, His words to you will be, well done, you good and faithful servant. Why? Because your life, even right now, even if you don't feel like it is, your life is simply covered by the blood of Jesus. And you literally, as you walk the streets, you're literally walking now as God's representation of His Son in the earth. So when you meet Him face to face, He's literally going to see you on that day like He sees you now, just through the eyes of His Son, Jesus. That's the benefit of salvation. And isn't it wonderful that salvation's free for anyone who'd ask?
Yeah.
And anyone who asks would receive. And it's just that simple. You know, if you weren't born again today, or you hadn't made Jesus your Lord, or maybe you don't know whether things are all right with you and God, you can just simply say, Lord, I ask you to save me. And it's just that quick. And from then on, whether you ever feel any different, here's the real kicker. Whether you ever do anything different than you've done before, you're covered. Because there's nothing greater than His blood. You know, there's no sin greater than the blood of Jesus. It covers all. The Bible says it covers a multitude of sin. Now, if God says a multitude, His multitude is much greater than our understanding of a multitude. And you say, well, I'm not sure I agree with all that. Well, you know, sometimes good news is just too good. That's what the good news literally means. You're quoting Greek and Hebrew, but the good news of the gospel literally means the too good to be true news. That's from a human understanding. You know, his good news, the gospel of Jesus, it makes no sense. You know, it makes no sense that a man born of a virgin, that's impossible. You know, born of a virgin would lay down his deity in heaven and come and be a man and live 30 some odd years. And gather up some 12 men, and one of those guys would, you know, end up trying to rob his ministry and do all these things and live a perfect, sinless life, and then literally just throw it all away, allow himself to be beaten and torn apart and mocked, and he never did anything wrong, and then go to a cross for none of that makes sense. So when I say, when you stand before God and give an account, all God's going to have is congratulations. I'm so proud of you.
Yeah.
And you know what? Don't wait until that day comes to find out that's true. Just know today and from today forward, God's proud of you. God's happy with you. You know, you'll do more for Him in your life knowing that your dad is so pumped. He's just so pumped that you're still alive. Amen. You say, well, what's the big deal about that? I tell you, we're living in a time right now, as I believe, just before the return of the Lord, just before the rapture of the church, and you need to know God's pleased with you. Because right now is when it all counts. If there was ever time to be happy about your relationship with God, right now is the time to be. And it's not going to ever be based on what you're doing or your performance. Throw your joy over on the Lord, not based on what you can do or what you've done, but totally based on what Jesus has done for you. Amen. And when you turn your joy to always, well, I'm joyful today, not because of what I did or what I haven't done, but my joy level is based simply on His performance. Man, you'll be a happier person. Amen. Well, that is the good news. Well, I think I'm done. Amen. I'd like to talk to you for a few minutes today, and I won't keep you too long. I am honored to be here, and thank you for this opportunity, man. It's not a small thing. We got a couple of books back there and some T-shirts. T-shirts are $10. If you don't have $10, well, just take one anyway, and we'll bless you with it. And these are our books. These are $5. this was my first book, Say What, and it's just a book, I think it's five chapters, and it's just full of really just positive stories about things God has done in my life. And there's some stories about my parents and how we grew up as a family in ministry. My parents pastored several churches over the years growing up. And then in the back of both of these books is just a series of confessions. And in this book, all the confessions we took right out of the scriptures of the epistles. And that's the letters written directly to you and I as the church. And so these will just bless you. And I'd like to read a couple of them to you. And this is just, you know, we confess these literally portions of this every day over our lives. My wife and I are literally this year taking the word very literal. And we've put signs all around our house, about a quarter of a page. And we've written, you know, many things. We add to it all the time. And so our pages seem to get bigger. But we add things that we're desiring in our life. And, you know, one of the things that my wife had put down there, she's been believing God. She wants to open up a clinic. So she wrote, my job is blessed. The blessing of the Lord is on my job. And then, you know, I've written some things we want to do overseas in missions. And so I say, Lord, I thank you that our missions work in Mexico is blessed and prospering and favored. And we've got partners. And so we've written all these things that we desire to see in our life. And we've made those desire our scriptural confessions. You know, if you can find it in the Bible, this is one of the earliest things the Lord ever, or that my father ever told me when I was about 8 years old. He said, Joey, if you can find it in here, it belongs to you. If you can find where God said it, it belongs to you. And so we've literally taken that word literally, where God said that healing belongs to me. I literally start saying, well, God, you said in Galatians 3:13 that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, Lord, since you said that we're redeemed, now the curse of the law represented by three things: poverty, sickness, and death. And that's a New Testament scripture, Galatians. That's written directly to me. And Jesus Christ laid down his life so that I didn't have to live in poverty. That means there is to be no lack in my life because Jesus said it. And so what we're doing is I literally say, Lord, thank you. There is no lack in my life. And these are areas of my life there will be no lack in. And you know, we have put those all in front of every doorway of our home. You say, that sounds weird. That's a little different. Well, it is a little different. You know, if you're going to take the word of God, you ever been in a tough place in your life and it seemed like it would have to be a miracle? It could only be God that could help me. Yeah? You know, many times in my life, the sad testimony has been, God was my last resort. I went to everybody and every other thing, even every other thought, to exhaust a resource that I could physically, tangibly touch or talk to. And then finally come back and I've been guilty of saying, well, I guess we're just going to have to pray. Well, God wants to be our first resort. You know, that's why he gave us this scripture. He wants this scripture to be our first resort that we turn to. And so my wife and I this past year, and I've been doing this most of my life, but we're literally taking the word seriously. And not only that, I'm no longer afraid to have those in my doorways, even when friends come over who aren't saved. It makes for wonderful conversation. They say, what are these lists you have outside the bathroom? What is this list you have on your doorway? And I said, that's things that I want to happen in my life. Yes, sir. Come on. And some of the most ungodly people who come in my house that don't even believe in the Bible, they say, hey, that's pretty cool. I need to do something like that. You know, there's something wonderful that happens about, as the world would say, the power of positive confession. Well, you know who's the author and finisher of that? That's Jesus. The Bible says he's the author and finisher of my faith. You know what my faith is? That's the things I believe. Yes. You know, everyone's got faith. Romans 12:3 says that he has dealt to every man. Now, that's even saved or unsaved. To every man, woman, boy, and girl, he's dealt the measure of faith. You know, all of us right now in this room, as I look around the room, you're all operating in a measure of faith. You say, what do you mean? Well, this is an old additive, but you're literally operating in faith right now. And I took note when we all sat down that none of you went and really inspected these chairs. You know, these chairs may have been made in China for all you know, just to be real with you. And you know, you say, well, this is kind of reaching. Well, just go with me for a minute. You know, you're all operating in faith right now in the fact that you didn't really, you know, test this thing just to make sure. What'd you do? By faith, you just believe that when you sit down, you're going to receive a seat that is worthy of your behind. Right? And so, in a simple measure, everyone in this room, oh, it feels good to sit back down. Everyone in this room is operating in a measure of faith. You know, in your everyday life, whether you believe that words of faith will actually make a difference, even though I'm going to give you some scriptures today, and if you let them, even if you're a skeptic about it, that's all right. Because the Bible says that God himself watches over his word to do one thing, perform it for you. If you give God even half a chance, you know, you could be a skeptic for years and go to church and say, well, I'm not sure I agree with all that, but you know, that piano player, Pastor Josh, he's all right to listen to, so I'll just tolerate the rest of it. Well, that's all right. You know, you could, I'd come to this church if I lived in this town just for that. You know, that is something else, man. Like, yeah, you don't get that everywhere. But I tell you, the Word of God, it works even if you're skeptical of it working. Do you know there's a place called Saturn? I've never been there, and I've never physically seen it, but I know that it exists. Well, I believe it. You know, I've seen pictures of it, though I've never, you know, I've never been to the moon, yet I see it on most nights. You know, there's a lot of things I've never tangibly experienced. You say, well, you can see those things. Well, you know, there's planets I can't see. And I don't have the powerful telescope at my disposal. But there's things I just choose to, even though I might be skeptical. You know, I'm one of the crazies that believes we actually landed on the moon. I grew up believing that. I still believe. I don't argue that Neil Armstrong is a real man. And that we landed on the moon. You know, there's a lot of things that you can just believe. You know, the Word of God, if you let it and you'll hang out around it, you know, Romans 10:17 says faith comes by what? Faith comes how? How does faith come? So if I needed faith in an area, what would be the first step to getting faith in that area? Hearing. Faith comes by hearing. You know, you guys have three beautiful kids, but your two oldest, and their names one more, Claire and Abigail. You know, Claire and Abigail are, if you hadn't met them, they're just a lot of fun. You know, yesterday we were out to eat and we were just watching them, and they're doing little things and, you know, performing in little ways and making us laugh. You know, you could take Claire, we'll say, and just as young as she is, and since faith comes by hearing, you know, you could tell Claire all her young life, you could say, Claire, you know what? You're a blessing. Claire, you're blessed. Man, Claire, you are bound for a life filled with blessing and hope. Claire, you're going to be rich. You watch, you're a superstar. Claire, you're going to be a high-powered somebody. You know, whether it's dancing, whether it's acting, these are things I'm seeing in them right now. Whether it's comedy, you're going to be the greatest comedian who ever walked the earth. And what are you doing? You're telling them something, and they're hearing something. You know, if you did that with Claire, how old's Claire? 7 years old. If you did that by the time, every day, on purpose, like we're doing this on purpose at my house, we're saying what we want, not what we have. There's a big key in that. Don't say what you have, say what you want. And don't say what you don't want, say what you want. Amen. Now, don't let this be too easy for you. Don't say what you don't want. Don't start confessing and claiming things you don't want. Say what you do want. And then you can go to a greater level of not just saying what I got. You know, I used to walk around just complaining about what I got or what I don't got. But then I got turned on to some scripture and I realized I can literally claim what I don't yet got so that in the future I got it. I'm from Alabama, so that's not the right grammar, but you get what I'm saying. I don't claim what I don't got. Amen. I don't claim what I got. I claim what I don't got yet, so that I can one day got it. Get it? Amen. I'm not going to make any of some of you smile no matter what I say. That's all right. I'll get you happy before I'm done. Amen. Even if I have to physically tickle you. But you know, you could take Claire every day, and you could take the word of God, and you say, Claire, you're never going to be sick all the days of your life. 1 Peter 2:24, you could just get down there with her and say, Claire, I just want you to know all the days of your life you're going to walk in perfect healing. Because wholeness belongs to you. 1 Peter 2:24, Jesus took stripes upon his back for your sickness. Claire, sickness doesn't belong in our house. And Claire, you're going to walk in perfect health. Even when it doesn't feel like you are. Claire, the Bible promises it. And God's healing power can manifest instantly anywhere we're at. Claire, you're a blessing going somewhere to happen. Claire, you're always going to walk in favor and blessing. The blessing of the Lord, Deuteronomy says, has made you rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Claire, God's going to fight your battles for you. You're going to have a good life. Some people say, and I even hear church people say, well, it's not always going to be easy. Well, it depends whose point of view you got. Jesus said these exact words. Hey, if it's my yoke, if you're in my crew, my yoke is easy. And my burden is light. And so what am I doing? Well, when I say it's not going to be easy, then I'm saying I'm not going to walk with him. Right? Now, obviously, there are challenges in life. This isn't like some weird cultish thing where we just say all these weird things. No, what we're doing is making a practice. It's like memorizing for a history lesson. You got to take time to say the things so that when the test comes, I know the answer. Yes, sir. And that's what the Word of God does. It's an open book. You know, our life is supposed to be an open book test. And whatever challenges you're facing, this is full of the answers. So what do? You don't just say the questions, right, for a test. It doesn't do you any good to memorize the questions. No, those are going to be a given. You don't have to guess the question. No, you need to memorize the answers, right? So what we do every day, me and my wife, is we take time to memorize the answers. Hey, we don't have, the money currently is not there for this thing we're going to build. But the answer is, God is our supply. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. How many could use a little bit more in the financial area? If your boss said, hey, we're handing out raises. Who wants one? You would be unashamed to say, hey, I'll take one of those. Go ahead and make mine 25%, right? You know? Right? Nobody's going to refuse an increase. You say, well, I just don't, you know, you're so humble. I just don't need any more. Well, what if you had the idea of if I had more, then I could do more for others? Yes, come on. And so maybe you could take the confession, being as holy and as humble as you are, and say, you know what? Whatever increase, Lord, you bring to me, I'll just look at as you wanting to use me to bless somebody else. And so if I had 20% more this time next year, Lord, that's 20% more I could offer to help somebody else. You know, what if you had 20% more over your current needs and even desires? And there was just an extra 20%, even over like your retirement fund if it exists, or your 401k if it exists. And there's an extra 20%. And all of a sudden you're like, hey, you know what? I always wanted to be a generous person. And now I get to be. And so my bills are paid and my needs are met. And now I want to take this extra and I want to help someone else pay their bills and get there. What are you doing? You're becoming more and more like Jesus every day like that when you start thinking like that. You say, oh, I'd sure like to think like that, but I just don't currently. You know what you can do? You can do what me and my wife do. And you can make a list of the ways that you'd like to start thinking. And you could say, this is one of mine. I'm a generous person. In fact, I'm the most generous person I've ever met. Now, people have not yet said that about me in a grand scale, but they're gonna. If the Lord tarries his coming, and he doesn't come back in the next few years like I believe he's gonna, and I live to be 100 years old, they will say of Joey Roberts, mark my words, He was the kindest, most generous man. If I had a headstone, and I probably won't put the money into that, but if somebody wanted to have a headstone made for me, it would say those very words. He was the kindest, most generous man I ever met in my life. That's my confession. What do you want to be known for? What do you want to be known for? We all secretly, whether you'd say it, we all want to be known for something. Well, I don't want any fame. I'm not talking about that. What do you want your family to know you for? No father ever wanted his children to say, well, he was gruff and rude and obnoxious. No. But if that's your current MO, you know you can change that. You can change anything starting with your own words. Your words have changed the way you think. You still here? Oh, I know you are. You look so good. That's a healthy beard, my friend. Very, very. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Well, God's so good. Look at Proverbs 4. I am literally changing. I don't think the way I did even this time last year. And last year was a good year. But man, I'm doing so much better this year than I was last year. And I can't hardly wait till next year. You say, oh, you're just putting on a show. No, if it is, it's a good display. Because things are happening literally in our lives. You know, this second book came out 2 years ago. And this next year, I don't know how, who would want to read anything I had to say? But the Lord, you know, a few years ago put a book in my heart. It was literally several years ago. It took me about 4 years to pull the trigger. And the moment I stepped out in faith, the moment I stepped out, some of you got artistic abilities and desires, and you're like me. Mine was to write a book, and it took me 5 years to literally, go with me for a minute. There are desires that are put in your heart, and you don't know why they're there. And it could be you play the violin. It could be that you're a dancer. It could be you're artistic in a way. Maybe you're funny. Maybe you secretly want to share your comedic genius with the world. But you know, for me, it was I always wanted to write a confession book. Grew up reading other people's confession books. Charles Capps had this wonderful confession book called God's Creative Power. Kenneth E. Hagin out of Oklahoma had written many confession books. One in particular that blessed my life growing up, and literally I never... very rarely was sick. I rarely ever missed school for legitimate sickness because of a little mini book I confessed every day, God's Medicine. And it was just full of scriptures about healing. And you know, what you say is headed your way. That's a good rhyme. What you say is heading your way. So healing was heading my way every day. Sickness never had a place in my life ever. Because I just stayed filled, even at 8 years old, stayed filled with healing scriptures. We were taught that, hey, if a headache's trying to get on you, don't receive it. Say, no, I'm not going to receive that in Jesus' name. I have the mind of Christ. And with that, the wisdom of God is formed within me. I've put off that old man. I've put on the renewed man. You know, my mind is renewed by the word of God. And these are just scriptures. But I would say them, and I'd meditate on them, and it would just get on the inside of me. And I'd get so full of it that literally I had very few sick days as a kid. Amen. Well, I can tell that's getting you all excited. Woo, that's great, Joey. Bring some more of it. Anyhow, you found Proverbs 4 yet? But I wrote that book 5 years later because finally my wife had gotten a hold of the manuscript. Literally, she found it in my file cabinet. She said, what is this? I said, oh, that's a book I've thought about writing. She said, oh, it's good. You should write it. And I said, well, thank you. You have to say that because we're married. And she said, no, this is really good. She said, can I keep it and read it a little bit? So she ended up making a copy for herself. And she read it a few times. She shared it with her mom, parts of it. And they ganged up on me and said, hey, you got to do this book. And I said, well, you know, doing books are a lot of money. And she said, well, what if you just pull the trigger by faith and see what happens? You know, it wasn't even days, true testimony. It wasn't even days. I was speaking at a not even a church. It was a lunchtime Bible study in Southern California in Temecula that this print shop owner owns. And we're not even from the same background church-wise. And he wanted me to come preach. He had heard through a couple other ministers who'd had me in. And he said, hey, have this guy come to your Bible study. And after I was done, he said, young man, he said, you know, I have a printing outfit. If you ever need anything printed, I'd love to bless you. And I said, okay. I said, wow. I said, I actually have this mini book. He said, send it to me. Let me see. I said, well, I don't have it printed yet. He said, how many pages? I said, I don't know. It's about like this big in my mind. And he said, well, he said, email it to me. It wasn't even 7 days. He said, I'll print you 1,000 copies for free. Wow. You know, what my wife was saying over my life was headed my way. Yeah. And then a year later, the second book. This next year, we'll have a third book. And I haven't paid a penny for them. It's crazy. You know, your dreams and visions are just one step away. And you'll get motivated the more you talk about it to yourself. And the more you say, hey, this is what I'm supposed to do. This is where I'm going. This is what, I'm not saying what I got. I'm saying what I want. Did you find Proverbs 4? I've given you so much time. Some of you are just slower than the others. I better catch you up here. Proverbs 4. Now, I'm sure you've heard this before. But just for fun, let's read it anyhow. Verse 20, my son, attend unto my words. I'm reading out of the King James Version. Attend unto my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them what? Them words. Now, that's not proper English, but it works in Alabama. Let them words not depart from thine eyes. Keep them what? Them words in the midst of thine heart. Why? I love that almost every scripture you can find, something to do, a command, God is so good, he gives you a reason why. You know, he's always done that since Genesis 1. Don't eat this tree. Why, Lord? Because it'll kill you. You know, it's usually plain, real plain what's going to happen if you do or you don't do what God says, right? And that's not to beat you over the head. It's just like, these are things I've put in the earth. This is how it works. Hot water burn baby, right? That's an old movie if you don't know what I'm talking about. You know, if you put your hand on a stove, don't do that, sweetheart. Why, Mom? Because it'll burn the fire out of your flesh, right? Well, God's word the same way. People get a bad rap by preaching the word, and they say, oh, you're so judgmental, and you're so whatever. You're just so. It's like, no, I'm just saying what's at work in the universe. God set up certain principles, and if you do it God's way, you get the God result, right? And so he said this, hey, pay attention to my words. Incline your ear to what I'm saying. Let them, my words, not depart from thine eyes. Now, if Josh, Pastor Thurman, said, okay, guys, on your way out today, you can take whatever you need, but let not this microphone stand, let it not depart from this sanctuary. Now, that's King James Version, but we're all quick and sharp and bright here in North Carolina. So what is he saying? Don't let this one leave. You can take whatever else, but let not this depart from this sanctuary. Well, that's what God's saying. When he's saying, let it not depart from your mouth, he's saying, hey, keep my word in your mouth all the time. Say what I'm saying. Does that mean I have to walk around in my, you know, my coffee shop or at my place of business and talk Elizabethan English? No. No. But, you know, you can simply line up your words and your thoughts and even your actions eventually with what he is saying. So it goes something like this. You know, I play Frisbee golf pretty avidly. And I like to think I play it at a high level, actually. I won the last tournament I was in. I don't know about you, but I've won both the tournaments I was in recently. And anyway, I like it. I play it almost every day. And it's kind of like my thing. I get up extra early just to go play. Sometimes if my wife's out of town, I go play in the evenings. Sometimes if I have the day off, I might play all stinking day. And it's great because it's free. And but I remember just recently, I was in a group, and you don't always choose who you play with. You know, if you play competitively, you get lumped in. And some of the characters you find on a disc golf course, at least where I live, are not the same people at the country club. You know, it's an interesting, wonderful, colorful mix of people. Many of them just got out of prison of sorts. Some of them, talk about different things that are, you know, interesting. And I find myself, you know, I'm just trying to get through my game and have a good time and you know, just have a good time. And it was just a couple weeks ago. I was out and somebody said something negative about the president, just openly. And now that led to somebody else saying even something more negative and adding some raunchiness to it. And then before I knew it, it was a real negative. And I don't go play disc golf to be negative. It's a very positive sport, at least it was in my upbringing. And so I go out there to relax, not to get all hyped up about politics. I mean, the last thing I want to talk about is politics on a disc golf course. I mean, we're disc golfers for crying out loud, not politicians. But anyway, before I knew it, there's like six guys all in an upheaval, and then they drug other people in. And we went way back to George Bush won with this and war and all these things. And I just started thinking, and all of a sudden I was like, I got to break this up in a nice way because I don't want to be the weirdo and then they find out I'm a preacher and then they won't let me play with them anymore because at least I'm playing with somebody. But I said, you know what? I said, somebody finally turned and said, hey, Roberts, what do you think about all this? And I said, what do I think about what? And I just smiled. They said, the president, man, aren't you listening? And I said, well, I don't know. He's got funky hair. And I got a similar response. It was an interesting thing. I didn't say anything really negative. Nothing I really said was too positive. But you know what? What I said, I meant, he does have funky hair. And at least what I said was the truth. You know what? When you bring the truth on, the truth, the Bible says the truth will always do what? Set you free. You know, that was the last word spoken negatively on that disc golf course that day that I can remember about the president. Because all of a sudden, speculation was shut down by a simple truth of, he's got funky hair. They didn't know how to take me after that. But I want you to know, as God's my witness, I beat the snot out of every one of them on the disc golf course by multiple strokes. And God got the glory. You say, well, that's not a big thing. You know, that simple scenario is a result of putting God's positive, replenishing, life-giving word. You know what? I didn't have to stand up and say, hey, all you heathens, you listen real good. I didn't have to be weird. I just had to wait on a word of wisdom from the Lord that lines up with his word. And you say, well, that wasn't real spiritual. He's got funky hair. No, see, we misconstrued sometimes the supernatural looking for the spectacular. You know, there's all kinds of supernatural substance in you that might not seem spiritual at times, but because it's coming from your spirit, see, you are a spirit, and you have a soul, a mind, will, and emotions, and you live in a physical body, but make no mistake, you are starting, and you always will be, a spirit. And so the things that come out of you are supposed to be spiritual. You ever heard somebody say, oh, well, that minister, I like to listen to them, but they're just so spiritual. You ever said that? You ever thought that? I've said it before. Well, that's, that person, I like hanging out with them somewhat, but they're just a little too spiritual. Have you ever thought about the fact that you just really don't have any choice because that's what you are? Yeah. Now, some people are just more religious, and then other people are just more weird. But make no mistake, you are a spiritual being. And to survive and live, you have to maintain on spiritual food or you'll spiritually die. That's why a lot of Christians walk around and they're dried up on the inside. They have no wellspring of life. Why? Because they never feed themselves what they eat. You know, cows eat a certain type of food. My dog will eat almost any type of food. But you know what? There's certain things that if I feed my dog, it'll kill her. You know, if you feed a dog enough onions, it'll kill him. They're toxic. If you feed a dog enough chocolate or cocoa powder, it'll kill them. You know, there's a lot of things that are even great in small quantities for us. But you know, you can't just live on chocolate cake as much as you want to, especially like the good kind. You ever been to a cheesecake factory? Anyone got a witness in here? I need an organ on that. Cheesecake factory, yeah. You know, as good as Cheesecake Factory is, I guarantee you, if you try and eat it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day, you'll die in 6 months. You will physically and utter, you will die. You'll die.
Now, don't go do it, but don't test me on this. If you eat cheesecake for breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day, it'll kill you. And here's this company with this poison that has the power to kill people, and they're this huge conglomerate of other restaurants they own, and nobody knows. Please help me spread the word. Cheesecake, if you eat it every day, will kill you. Why am I the only one talking about these things? What is wrong with you? Why are you laughing like it's funny? You see what I'm saying? I'm being very drastic because I'm a preacher. But the fact is if you go for a long time and you don't eat the food that you literally can only survive on as a spirit, you just dry up and die spiritually. Now, the day that you turn that around, you can get revived. But you're not meant to walk around without the Word of God in your mouth or in your ears or around you. You know, I don't always get to choose my friends. I guess you can, but some people are just interesting regardless of where they come from. And I find myself always surrounded with such an odd mix of people. Do you know the favorite kind of people? And I get to choose my favorites. You know, a lot of my friends that I'll see this next week, I'm going to New England after this. A majority of my friends in upper New Hampshire are atheists, and they don't even know the Lord. And I've known them for 10 or 15 years, and they tolerate me, and they think I'm that weird preacher, and they read my Instagram, and it freaks them out, and he's that weird last days hippie dude. He's going to ride the rapture, man. That's how they talk about me. And I'm like, you're that weird non-believing climber dude that doesn't know where he's going if I'm right. And that's, you know, we pick on each other like that because our love is real for one another. But I'm right and they're wrong. So where was I at in here? Let them words, get back to this just for a minute. I'm having too much fun. See, you were right. It's too easy to preach in here. Let them words not depart from thine eyes. Keep them words in the midst of thy heart. Why? That's where we're at. Why? For they what? My words are what? This word is literal life. Now, that's not a metaphorical thing. Like, what does he mean? Well, what did he mean? I mean, is God the type of God that everything's a metaphor? I mean, when Adam and Eve, God sat them down and said, hey, of every tree in the garden you can eat from, and it's good, but this one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, don't eat this. For in the day that you should eat this, you'll surely die. Now, that wasn't like a metaphor, right? Because you know the rest of the story. The snake came in and deceived Eve, and then Adam fell in, and they ate the fruit, and what happened? That spiritually, they were disconnected with God. And God had to remove them from the garden. You know, he sent them out with fresh animal skins, and God made a sacrifice on their behalf, and he blessed them. But everything God said, it wasn't a metaphor. Sometimes I read things from the Word, and I can just tell people are thinking, what is that a metaphor for? No, he's literally saying, my words are life. Life. What's life mean? That means alive, not dead. Man, if you need some life brought back, let's say my marriage. Let's say my marriage is, as they say, on the rocks. Now, mine's not. I'm married way out of my league. My wife is a beautiful, educated, athletic, unbelievable, just a wonderful woman. She spent all kinds of years before we met in college. She got her doctorate, and she helps people literally all over the world. She'll be in England 1 month, and she'll be speaking to, she's highly sought after in her field. And for her age, she's actually the number one. I can literally say this. She's the number one trainer for her company out of England. She trains all these people who are 20 and 30 years older, have 30 years experience. They come to my wife, who's 31, and they receive training from her. She's a wealth of wisdom. She's helping me grow up every day. But you know, it's an amazing thing. I don't know how I got off bragging on my wife, but I'm glad I did because she's wonderful. But this word here, and I'll try and tag that together here in a minute. This word here is not a metaphor. It's life. That's what I was talking about, my marriage, my wonderful marriage. You know, if your marriage isn't so wonderful, you know, the world has all these books and remedies. Hey, you need the spark back. Hey, you need to fall in love again. You know, this word is life for your marriage. You could literally say, Lord, I thank you that your word is changing how I feel. I'm not going to be moved by what I feel or what I see. But Lord, I'm going to put my faith in your word. Thank you, Lord, that I am falling back in love with my spouse. Lord, I thank you that I find them lovely. Even in the areas that I don't find so lovely. Lord, I thank you that your word is a wellspring of life. Lord, I love my husband. Lord, I love my wife. You know, that's a good thing to say every day. Not just when times are good. Oh, you know I love you. No. Say it to yourself. You know, do what I do. What the crazy people do. You know, when no one's around, I look at myself in the mirror. And I say things like, hey, you're awesome. Yeah. You are a visionary. And I make myself look at myself saying it. I got this principle from a man who lived in the 1920s named John G. Lake. He was one of the greatest revivalists of his time that the world had ever seen. He moved his whole family to Africa for several years. And he literally won major parts of Africa to the Lord in a short amount of time. And they would say that when Lake would come to a village, this is when the bubonic plague was wiping out literally millions of people in Africa. And Lake said, I know the scripture said that the life of God is in me. And Jesus said in Mark 16 that I would lay my hands on the sick and the sick would be healed. Now either the sick will be healed and his word is true or he's a liar. Lake would say, if God can't heal through these hands, then God is a liar and the Bible is false and I'll burn it on this altar today. And he would put that before the people and he'd say, but God is not a liar. And when these hands are laid upon you, just believe that Jesus is your healer. And literally, back here in the States in Chicago, Illinois, you can look this up on Google. Lake got a panel of 50 plus doctors and scientists from all over the United States. The president himself in that time took notice. And the president himself wrote a speech and said that Spokane, Washington is the healthiest city in the United States because John G. Lake lives there. This was a man who simply took the word of God and made it his confession. He used to say to himself in the mirror, he said, listen to me, John. God lives in that man. Hey, you. God lives in you. You can't fail. I don't care what you're facing today, John. Jesus is alive and well. God is still on the throne, and there's hope for you. Put your faith in what God can do. And he would make himself see himself saying, you know, you're your best reminder of who God is for you and who God is in you. You know, you don't have to expect your spouse or your preacher or your pastor to lift you. You can lift yourself. Joyce Meyer says it this way, you are the greatest encouragement you're ever going to meet. You can encourage yourself in the Lord today. You know, you can encourage yourself to be healed and walk in health. I do it all the time. Something tries to attach itself to my body. You know those thoughts come. You ever had a pain in a weird part of your body and the next thought is, hey, you're having a heart attack. You ever had that? I'm the only one. Thank you. Thank you for relating to me and making me feel comfortable. the devil, he'll try and tell you all kinds of things. What's he trying to do? He's trying to get you to say something. Do you know that you're most like God? This is what separates us truly from the animals. Now, the liberal thinking, and I'm not here to talk politics, but liberal thinking would have us begin to believe that there is no separation between us and animals. You watch, there'll be a day come that they will outlaw, I believe this, they will outlaw ownership on certain types of animals. Why? Because they should be free. It's already happened in India. I was in India 15 years ago. And owning cows, people don't have fences in many. So you walk through Calcutta, India, there's a mix of people. There's 18 million people living on the streets. 18 million in one city on the streets. And then there's free roaming cattle. There's free roaming sheep. There's free roaming goats. There's free roaming everything. And it's just this weird mix. It's a wonderful place to visit. You should go there. Don't drink the water. Hear me. And don't wash in the Ganges, as my grandfather would have said. But I tell you, it's an amazing. You know what separates us from the animals? This is, there's many things, but the number one, now think about this, and what makes us most like God. Remember in Genesis, he said, let us make man in our image. You know what makes you just like him? You are a speaking spirit. Read Genesis 1 and see that everything God said, two things followed. It happened, and the second thing, what happened was good. Now, I want you to look here at Proverbs. I guess we're just going to stay in Proverbs, and I won't keep you but a couple more minutes. And then I might do a little dance just to prove that I can, just to prove that I still got it, got the moonwalk happening. Now, look at this. Proverbs 18, verses 6, 7, 20, and 21. Now, you should outline these or make a mental note. It says, a fool's lips enter him into contention, and his mouth calls for strokes. You know, one of the translations you might have says, his mouth invites a beating. His mouth invites a beating. Man, there's been days where in my own life that I was the one inviting the beat down in my life, and I didn't even realize it. I was walking around saying how bad things were and how rough things were, and then taking it to another level of how rough they might get. And if this gets any worse, man, you ever say anything like that? Man, if this gets any worse, I don't know what I'll do. I'll lose my freaking mind. What am I doing? I'm inviting a beating. I didn't say that. You know it's important if it's in here. And it's not a metaphor. Like, what does he mean, a fool? I don't know. It could only mean one thing. If it says his mouth enters him into contention, it invites a beating. It calls for strokes. I don't want a beat down. I want a blessing. So what am I doing? I'm not going to be foolish with my words. I want to say what God says. I'm not inviting a beating. I'm stopping the beating. You're not going to get to me. God fights my battles. Remember David and Goliath? He took that dude's head off. That's what I'm doing. Taking problems' heads off, man. I'm moving mountains with these words. Get out of my way. Every devil, everything that's trying to mess with me, you just get away. Sound like T.D. Jakes. I wish I had that voice. I tell you right now. But what am I doing? I'm setting myself up for victory, for success. I'm not saying what I have. I'm not saying what I see. I'm saying what I want. Are you here? Almost done. Look down at verse 20. A man's belly shall be satisfied. Your satisfaction. Remember the Rolling Stones? This is, man, there's multiple generations in here, but everyone's heard of the Stones, right? You know, Mick Jagger, he'll never die. He's like that entity. I think he's a cyborg created by NBC. I can't prove it, but I have ideas. Anyway, but, you know, I used to sing that song, and it's like their big hit. Like, I can't get no, bow, 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 no, no, no. You know, Mick Jagger's a billionaire, and I don't know why he's singing that. Because, I mean, if money could solve problems. But, you know, Biggie, I think back in the day, was it B.I.G., Notorious B.I.G.? He said, mo money, mo problems. So maybe there's something to that. I don't know. There's a little rap that comes out of me once in a while. But you know, that I can't get no satisfaction. Here's how you get satisfaction. A man or woman's, their belly, their centermost being is satisfied with the fruit or the seeds of his mouth. And with the increase, everyone say increase. Increase. I'm almost done, I promise. The increase of his lips shall he be filled. Yes. Have you felt empty before? You know, your countenance says everything that's going on the inside of you. It does. Even the way we sit, the way we talk, the way we shake hands. These are micro expressions. And you can't hide them. It's who you are, unless you're trained by the CIA or some sort of Gestapo underground agency. And that's all kinds of waterboarding and stuff you don't want to be a part of. But your micro expressions, your countenance says what is going on. You know this word can even change your countenance? You don't even have to fake it. You say, fake it till you make it. No, faith it till you make it. Fill your mouth and your mind with faith. And all of a sudden you'll see, hey, I'm getting filled up. Nothing's changed on the outward, but all of a sudden I got hope that there could be a change. You know, hope will come first. You say, I really would love to have faith in God's word, and I just don't understand it. And the blessing isn't even in the understanding. It's in the saying. You know, this is a supernatural book. And it is alive. Jesus actually held up the books of the Bible one day, and he said, this book by itself is dead. But the Spirit in it gives it life. This is a living book. It's not like reading, you know, Moby Dick, right? It's not like reading, you know, Ben-Hur. No, this is a living thing. You know how I know it's alive? Because there's parts of it that I've read over and over again, not having the understanding. And then one day, bless God, it just, whoa, glory. Wow, I wasn't expecting that. That was kind of part of the show. Anyhow, it literally came alive to me. And all of a sudden, I had understanding in an area that I didn't see before. You ever read a passage out of the Bible, or somebody was trying to explain something? Maybe Pastor Josh was trying to explain a passage to you. You're like, I'm not sure I'm getting the gravity of that. He seems real excited about it. I wish I had the same enthusiasm. I'll amen it anyway so I don't hurt his feelings. You know, this book being a living book, all of a sudden you start reading it, and I'm telling you, it's happened to me. I can understand King James Version. Not all of it, but since the word is alive, all of a sudden, there's no question in my life, does healing belong to me? I literally have told people, it was not even last year. It was in this year. I had somebody come up to me at my book table after a big meeting and said, you shouldn't do that. I said, excuse me? She said, you shouldn't do that. I said, what did I do? This lady came up. She said, you shouldn't say you're going to be healthy all the days of your life. And I said, why not? She said, well, we all get sick. And that gives young people a false hope. And then they feel like they're a failure when they get sick. I said, that's not what I said. I said, I'm not going to be sick. I didn't say anything about everybody else. You choose to say what you're going to say. I said, I got real bold because she was real bold. I'll get as bold with you as you get with me. I said, you know what? I'm never, ever, ever going to be sick. Ever. 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 And she just kind of looked at me. You know what? She believed me after that. You know how I can be bold with his word? It's because, one, it's changed my life. But two, it's a constant in my life. You know, the devil tries to attack marriages all the time. And it always is subtle. And it always comes at an inconvenient moment. And yet, you know, you can find yourself in the evening time in a silly argument. And even when strife creeps in, see, strife is a spirit, and it creeps in subtly. You know, the devil doesn't walk down the street going, hey, everybody, I'm the devil, and I'm going to screw you up. No, he's subtle. The Bible says he's cunning. The Bible says that he walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And, you know, strife will try and weave its way into a conversation. You ever had like a conversation on text? And that's real. You can't really get too in-depth on text because you meant it to be joking and they're having a bad day. And it's like you were hoping they were happy because you're excited at your job and they're really mad because they just had a falling out with somebody. And you're texting something cute and clever and, you know, and then their response is sad face. And then, you know, it goes on from there. And then by the time you get home, it's boiled over because they've had hours. And then this web of strife. And it's like, baby, you misunderstood. And there's, you know, strife is always a misunderstanding. You know, you can deal with strife and confusion. You know, my wife and I, we are implementing some rules in our life, along with our confessions, that when we see, when strife comes in, you can literally, you don't even have to be a very spiritual person. You can sense when it's gone from something natural to something now that's supernatural. Because there's a heaviness to it. And it's like, it's that knowing of, if we discuss this any farther, we're going to take it a step farther, and then all of a sudden, our words, as Eminem says, become weapons. And all of a sudden, it's like it goes from offense to offense, and more offended, and more offended, and more. You know, some people live their lives like that almost every day, and then the next morning, they rebound. Hear me. They rebound. But they never really rebound because they never deal with it with the word. You know, lately, and this is just for whoever wants it, but lately, me and my wife, when we sense, that we're talking and our conversation is heading down a path where it goes from argument to now it's strife. You can sense it because strife is an ugly thing. It's demonic. And so you can argue all day. Argument's good. You know, arguments are healthy. Have an opposing side. Nothing wrong with that. But when your opposing side becomes ugliness and it steps out of the love of Christ, where your anointing is, where your power is, where it lines up with the word, where the blessing is, and all of a sudden you sense it, cut it off immediately. Just stop. And don't try and be right. In fact, the best way to cut it off, man, this is on me, the best way to cut it off is to literally not bow out, as people say, and say, well, I'm just going to let you be right. No, literally humble yourself. And even when I'm right, I'm working on a practice, I say, you know what? You're probably right. And I'm gonna believe God to see it a different way. You know, humility, I wish I had 2 more hours, but I don't. Humility comes from time spent with the Word. You know, humility is a result of life. The Word will bring all the best parts out of you. You know, I found in studies say that in finding a mate, you know, humility is one of the greatest qualities that people are attracted to. I didn't mean being a sissy or a rollover, but I mean somebody who's touchable, somebody who's believable, someone who's honorable and prefers others. You know, you'll be a greater spouse as a humble spouse. Not a wimp, not a pushover, not somebody who cowers down. No. Humility is my strength. I'm strongest when I'm humble. You say, well, what's that have to do with the Word? The Bible says God resists the proud. You know it's the only scripture in the whole Bible? That you're a scripture guy. You know what it means in the Greek and Hebrew? That when it says God resists the proud? It's the only scripture in the whole book that it's translated like this. It says he arrays himself in battle armor against. Every fight I've ever had with my wife, every time I've had strife in my life with coworkers, there's no grace there. Why? Because God can't have any part of it. He literally arrays himself in battle armor against the proud. It's the one thing that got Lucifer knocked out of heaven. And if I've said nothing else, and I didn't plan to get on that, but if I've said nothing else, your confession over your life of God's word, you'll find out how truly big and how truly great he is. And the humility happens all by itself. You don't have to pray for humility. You just have to spend time speaking his word. His word gets in you like a vine, like a source. And all of a sudden, it just breeds life in you. Amen. Can we stand to our feet together? I know I had a few more minutes. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. Oh, see, look at there. There's my wife texting me just a minute ago and said, I love you so much. Sow seeds into your life. Sow seeds of love. Sow seeds of the word. Say over yourself and your spouse and your family what God's saying. Praise God, it'll change you. Well, can I pray for you before we finish? Father, I just thank you for each and every person here.
We hope that this message inspired you and filled your heart with faith. If you would like to visit our church, check out www.highcountrychristian.com for service times and location information. Thanks again for listening to this audio presentation from High Country Christian Church, where Jesus loves you, we love you, and your life counts.